sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Well, good evening. This is our book Revelation review, end times wrap up. Thursday the 13th is Purim. Purim. So dress up. We're all going to be downstairs. Supper start at 5:30. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to go through the book of Esther. That is what Purim, so you might want to read that. Remember, as we read through Esther, every time we read and mention the name of Haman, we go, moo. Mordecai?
Yay!
Ruth? Oh, Ruth, they don't... I don't know what happened to you, Ruth, man. All right. But Haman? All right. So that's going to be... have your kids dress up good. Bring all kinds of goodies, sweets, since it's time of celebration, and that is Thursday the 13th here. So again, supper starts at 5:30, and at 7 we start the service, which is just a continuation of eating and fellowship and going through the book of Esther, and that part of that service will start. So that's Purim on Thursday the 13th. And so with that, Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I just ask you to be Lord and lifted up, and that God, that you just continue to do the work with each and every one of us today. We leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, happy Independence Day. Yes, 31 years ago, my beloved Marines in the 7th Regiment, I wasn't with them, I was already out of the Marine Corps by then, and many others from Camp Pendleton liberated Kuwait. That was Desert... started off as Desert Shield. All right, then. And then it went into a two-day war. We really liked those, and that was liberation there. But unfortunately, 24 Marines, actually a total of 54 died, but 24 in combat and others with other sustained injuries, about a total of 147. It's near and dear to me because I've preached the gospel. And then in 2009, I was able to go to Kuwait. Through a series of events, the people I was supposed to go with stranded me there. So I was there for 10 days, and I got to meet some Kuwaitis, and they took me in. In fact, I called one of them today, did an app, and said, "Hey, how you doing? Haven't talked in a while." And he called me up just before service and just, "Hey, how you doing?" And let's get together. "Well, where are you at?" "Kuwait." "All right, I'm in St. Paul." "All right, we're going to work it out somehow." But he remembers me. I remember him. And he was just again, "So what's going on?" I've just been able to share the Lord with him. And so that's many years in the process there. I was able to visit many of our troops there, my son not being one of them. They wouldn't let me on that base. But got to meet up with a lot of police officers with the St. Paul Police Department who was serving with the Minnesota Army National Guard that was stationed there. One soldier I wasn't able to look up, Tim Walz. No, he was not there. Would have stopped by and said, but he had other things he was doing. But I think you've heard the news about that. Okay. So 31 years ago, so this is the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th it all started. And I remember that Sunday, the 26th, one of the sisters comes into church and says, "Hey, I just talked to Manny." He was a Navy corpsman with my former unit that I was with, and said, "How'd you talk to Manny?" And he goes, "Well, they called. They were just a mile away from entering Kuwait before the war started, the official war, and they found an American oil refinery or an American company that was there in Saudi Arabia in that part of Kuwait. And when you're on that oil place for the crude oil, you pick up the phone. It's like, it's America. That's how their phones work there. So a whole platoon of Marines were calling home and announced before church on Sunday that they were going to war. They were actually invading in. So we knew before the news knew. But everyone got to talk, and so they were making phone calls. So not the best and the brightest of people. It wasn't so much of a sneak attack when you spend 5 months or almost 9 months building up. But that's Independence Day, and so I was in Kuwait, actually in Kuwait in that February in 2009, and all the celebrations going on, and so I got to meet a lot. And so I'm still evangelizing. I'm still sharing the Lord. And why do I say that today? Because there is nothing new you're going to learn here today. There's nothing that you shouldn't learn anything new today, because everything I'm about to tell you and share with you, get your pens ready, get your crayons ready for us Marines, get everything ready, because I'm gonna be able to, again, give you various verses and prophecies and things and try to put the whole book of Revelation in the end times. But one book you should have is Things to Come by Dwight Pentecost. And that is a book that just, again, it's not a novel. It's not an easy reading book. It breaks it all the way down from Genesis to Revelation, puts the timelines in there, why Israel needs to exist. And you got to remember, these things were written about even before Israel was reformed as a nation on May 14th, 1948. There you go. Very good. Bet it all in double jeopardy. Do it all. You know it. And so... So you're not going to learn anything new, but you might, because I'm going to be throwing some verses at you, that you'll be able to explain this to others. I know this so well, and I've researched this so well that I'm able to do that after 43 years from memory. But I got my notes because I'm old. And so we get some of the various things with the timeline here. So even with the person that I was in Kuwait, because he would ask me, "Well, how did you get here? And how'd you come here?" And I was in Israel originally, and then I came to Kuwait at the end of our Israel tour, and I was able to continue on in Kuwait there. And I was able to share with them, and they were Muslim light, and I was able to share with them the good news of why I am here. It's not because I got stranded by another group of people who were supposed to get my security clearance for me to get on base. How I came to be, and that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and as my friend was telling me today, my good friend, that's how he talks to me, my good friend, and he just started recounting of just our time together and just how special it was. It looked like coincidence. It looked like spontaneousness going on, and I'm like, well, those aren't the words I use, but okay. And just how special it was, and this is the family that God provided used to provide me, because I had no money. I was on a monetary fast while I was there, and food and everything, and they fed me every day. Granted, there was a lot of fish involved, but they fed me all the time. And then it was like, "Hey, tell them how you got here," and he brought me to all his family. And brothers and sisters and cousins, and just show them your passport. Show them how there's a Kuwaiti stamp next to the Israeli stamp. We were told that that can't be. And they're like, "No, Israel was your friend the whole time during the Gulf War." And was able to share all these things with them. So, again, we see this whole timeline that we're going to be showing here. You have the timelines right there? And so Here is a timeline, and you just look this up. There's a lot of different timelines here, but realize that in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 19, it gives us the whole outline, right? The things that were, that are, and are to come. And from chapter 4 on, we don't see the church anymore. And chapters 2 and 3 are the most important for you and I, because that's the church age. Now, there's many different, again, if you line up from 2,000 years ago or 1,960 years ago when the book of Revelation is here and this letter is being written to us, you can see seven distinct periods of time. And right now, I believe that we're in the Philadelphia church, but there's also part of the Laodicea church as well. In other words, there's not just like, here's the line and now we're in this church, but they're kind of blending over to one another. And listen, take this down, Christian. Not necessarily when the rapture happens, then will the tribulation happen. That 7-year period. Not necessarily. Well, that it could be many, many years after that. I find that mind-boggling if that could be, because the Communist Party of China there will be millions of Christians who will disappear. And the Communist Party of China does a lot to persecute the Christians and to know where they are. And when they vanish, that's going to put them in a turmoil as well. And then many here, again, in America and many other places around the globe, Christians are going to be gone. We're going to be raptured up in the twinkling of an eye. And what's it going to look like? I mean, are people just going to see us like kind of disappear slowly, or they just blink and, hey, where'd you go? And I mean, is it? I mean, and are there going to be like the eyeglasses and gold teeth and dentures laying there and clothes laying there? I can't imagine we get raptured to heaven naked. So I just kind of think, do we come up in our clothes that we're in? And what about the people who got organ transplants? And if those people that got organ transplants weren't saved, do those organs stay behind? And then there's just hearts and lungs and things beating. I mean, that would be kind of freaky. This is just how I think. All right, that's just how that's how it goes. But we will know each other. And then there's going to be that, again, after that church age, then there's going to be that tribulation period. And there could be a gap of many years, but there will be as distinct. And listen, I would think right after the rapture church, something's got to happen, because there's going to be great upheaval. And if you look at that timeline right there, there's 7 years, and all of it is the tribulation period. And what is that tribulation period? It is God completing his plan with the nation of Israel. And you look at what's happening in Israel. I mean, since January 20th, I can't even keep up with all the changes that are going on. I used to like to watch longer YouTube clips and stuff. Now it's like, if it's past 3 minutes, I'm on to the next thing, man. I got too much to get through here. There's so much changing and going on. And I think in the positive and in the right direction, but there's still going to be corruption. There's still going to be evil going on there. But this is not the millennium. This is not the millennium Latin for that 1,000-year reign of Christ. Because remember, now that Satan is bound, we're going to see that he's going to be bound for 1,000 years, and righteousness will be enforced. That'll be enforced by you and I. Remember, we're kings and priests. We come back and we reign and we rule. There's also some tribulation saints, and they're going to lose their heads and be for Jesus. But what are they going to be doing? They're going to be serving in the temple. And then it's going to be the new heavens and the new earth. So that whole 7-year period is a tribulation. It's just the last 3.5. Now, some would say, well, we're going to get, the church is actually spiritual Israel or Israel, and you're going to get raptured up in the middle of that tribulation. And then, but yet we're going to come back and reign and rule. So it's just like, I look at some of these other timelines and they put it in a graph. It's like you get raptured and we come right back. And then some think it's the post-tribulation, after we go through all of that, then we get raptured and then we come right back. We are the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ, and we partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We go and we get judged. And then we're going to see what happens in that millennial kingdom. Matthew chapters 25 and 26. You can read those later. The separating of the sheep and the goat, you might know it. But that's not that's not the weeding out of the Christians. That's not what we saw in chapter 20, the great white throne judgment. That Matthew 25 and 26, they asked Jesus three questions. When will you come in? What will the sign of the times? And what's it going to be like? And he told them those things. And all those who somehow survived, whoever survived the tribulation period, whether you got saved and you get beheaded or you, but it's how you treated the children of Israel, how you treated the nation of Israel. And then if you got saved and then you didn't take the mark of the beast, you're going to go into the millennial kingdom. There will still be people in that 1,000-year reign who will be born. There's going to be a longevity of life. There's going to be peace because it's going to be enforced, but there's still going to be sin in the millennial kingdom. Because does any of us have children? And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean they are. All right? And so there's still going to be that. But righteousness, again, will be enforced. And yet we know at the end of that 1,000-year reign, and some would say, well, we're living in the millennial kingdom now. Well, wasn't the beast, didn't we read in Revelation that the beast, all right, and the devil, I mean, the beast and the Antichrist, we're going to see that they're thrown in the lake of fire, but the devil is bound for 1,000 years, and then he lets them loose. If we're in the millennial kingdom, I was like, as Pastor Chuck Smith would say, then Satan's on a long leash. Because, man, it's a long chain here because we're getting hassled right now to say that we're in that millennial kingdom. And so we see that whole 7-year period, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we see that. We see Jesus' second coming in Revelation chapter 19. Now, again, you got to go back to Things to Come by Dwight Pentecost. And I think it's chapter 4, the methods of interpretation. There is the allegorical, there's the metaphor, there's a simile, but the only way, and what I'm telling you is the grammatical, historical, literal interpretation of God's word. That God says what he means, and he means what he says, and we take him at his prophecies. So that's how I come up with a premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And when you say, well, you know, it could be in the middle of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, I don't really understand the end of the tribulation period, people. That one doesn't get me, but I can see where they kind of get the mid-tribulation view. But you have to use allegory. In other words, to use allegory, metaphor, simile, and all those other methods of interpretation, except the actual literal of what it is, that Israel exists. And where did all these methods come from and all these methods of interpretation? They just came from philosophy. And because Israel was dispersed since 70 AD, but there's always been a Jewish presence in Israel. There's none of this where Jews have come back to the land of Palestine and conquered it and kicked all the Palestinians out. That's not true. There's always been a Jewish presence in Israel. And Muslims didn't exist until the 7th century when Islam was formed. There's always been a Jewish presence in that land. Call it by whatever you want. It was always considered Israel and the land of Judah and Samaria. It's always been that way. And so here we see that again in Revelation 19 that Jesus comes back for his second coming, his return. And then we see Revelation chapter 20. We see that great white throne judgment. We see all those who have been in the hell, Sheol, Hades, the grave. They've been since Abraham's bosom and paradise was emptied with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we'll go through the Gospel of Matthew on that one, that there were still those who were waiting, not in purgatory, but they were waiting for the final judgment, still in torment, and then they're thrown into the lake of fire. And that's, again, we see that. And so, again, that 1,000-year reign. And so that 1,000-year reign, Revelation chapter 20, we see that great white throne judgment. So after that 1,000-year millennial reign. And then in chapters 21 and 22, we see that new heaven and that new earth. Now, the Antichrist titles. Nowhere in the book of Revelation is the title used Antichrist. That's in 1 John and a few other places. Get ready. Here it comes. He's known, and again, many titles for the Antichrist, man of lawlessness. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Man doomed to destruction. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be challenged on this, and you're going to call me up, and you're like, hey, Pastor Chick, what are those verses you use? And I said, but I saw you at service, and you can get this online, and you should have highlighted your Bible and done it, because they're highlighted in mine. And I actually, again, have arrows going, go to the next verse, go to the next. All right, this isn't Wikichickadia, all right, where you can call me up. And I'm looking at it right now. You're going to call me up because you're going to be challenged on this. Man doomed to destruction, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Antichrist, the actual Antichrist, that is 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Foolish and worthless shepherd. Zechariah, it's Old Testament, folks. Zechariah chapter 11, verses 15 and 17. The beast. That's Revelation 11 all the way through 20. A ruler. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And the abomination that causes desolation. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 15. Let's look at some of his tactics. It identifies the Antichrist. He will be a charismatic, political world leader who will be given dictatorial powers by a 10-nation confederation to rule the world for 3.5 years. Now, what do we know about that tribulation? In the middle of that 3.5 years, what does the Antichrist do? Reveals the mask, and he creates the abomination of desolations in the temple. Well, wait a minute. Is there a temple in Jerusalem right now? Will there be? You know how you know you can say it will be? Because the nation of Israel exists since May 14th. And before that, many people said, well, there can't be a temple because Israel doesn't exist as a nation again. Now there's Jewish people, but no, that can't happen. That can't happen. And just as again, we can talk about it when we get to heaven, but I take the grammatical, literal interpretation of God's word. Biblical Babylon, modern-day Iraq, has not been utterly destroyed. It has not been destroyed. And the world powers will be in biblical Babylon, which is, just south of Baghdad there, by the way, folks. And so, again, Iraq has been desolate at times. They're rebuilding. And if you haven't gone, as I have shared with you, to look online and look at the Babylon financial district and the Babylon development group and company, they're taking investments. They are rebuilding, and they're going to try to outdo maybe some of Abu Dhabi or Qatar or some of the United Emirates. They're going to try to be a financial place. And Saddam Hussein, when he came to power in the 70s and 79, offered to then the United Nations, move the UN over here, because this is the cradle of the birth of the world, and I'll set you up, and you can just carte blanche everything you want there. But the food's better in New York, I guess. But so that's, listen, this Antichrist tactics, Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. And Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 through 13. The second part of his tactics, he will oppose God and proclaim. That's in the middle of that 3.5 years. He will oppose God and proclaim himself to be God and demand to be worshiped and kill those who refuse to do so. And it isn't that he's going to command to be worshiped as God. He is going to be commanded to be worshiped above all things called God. Everything's going to a one-world government, folks. Everything's going to a one-world religion. And when it finally gets there with Mystery Babylon, when it gets to the financial and commercial Babylon and the actual physical Babylon, this Antichrist will reveal himself because Jew and Gentile alike will accept this person. The Jews will accept him as a Messiah. Now, again, if you've taken notes along, you know the references that I've made in Isaiah, especially Isaiah 65, but Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 9 and 11, that we know that the Antichrist, if he's not fully Jewish, he will be part Jewish. And I go much as to say that I believe that he'll be part Jewish and Assyrian, according, if you take the literal interpretation of what it is. And I'll put it a little bit further out there, because I'm not going to be here for the tribulation period, so we can talk about it on the rapture on the way up. But that he'll most likely come, and his Jewish lineage will be out of the tribe of Dan. And if you know something, as we go through, because we'll start the Old Testament in a few weeks after Purim, we're going to start in Genesis again. You're going to find out that Dan is the one who entered in pagan worship, idol worship in the north up there. And so there's a lot that supposes. So he will oppose God and proclaim himself. That's Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 37. That's also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And then Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And verse 15. So those are his tactics. Again, and then he will gather the nations together against Israel for the battle of Armageddon, but it's really not a battle. That's Revelation chapter 16 and 17. So after that thousand, we're going to see that there's going to be this battle of Armageddon. So we're going to see that he's going to try to rise up and have this battle, and God's going to show up and say, nope. Comes riding in back, what? Horses? Comes back in the horses? Got that? Chapter 19. Comes riding back in. Got our horse. We got our horse riding lessons, right? Learned a little Hebrew so you're not a tourist in heaven. I mean, you get this. We come back. The bride of Christ, the tens of thousands upon thousands, we come back. And we're just like, oh, no, you shouldn't. And there's Jesus. And a sword comes from his mouth and he wipes them all away. And then we go into that millennial kingdom. And so the beast, this Antichrist, they're just thrown in the lake of fire that they're done with. And then Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And then chapter 20, that great white throne judgment. And then everyone is again bodily resurrected, is brought before the Lord. And yet at the end of that 1,000-year reign, there's still going to be another attempt. The writer of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, because it's an unnamed epistle, tells us that God is going to shake whatever can be shaken one more time. So the devil has a purpose, and God's going to use him. And I know that in my own life. God has used a couple of the devil's own pawns to bring me back to Christ. He's taken the people from the world, and God has supernaturally put words into their mouth, just like he did with the donkey. And I'm like, okay, God has used some of the devil's own pawns to bring me back to Christ when I walked away from a bit. He will be overthrown by Jesus at the Lord's second coming and cast into the lake of fire, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, and Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. So we see that. And then after the tribulation, and the battle of Armageddon, the millennial kingdom, will be a period of 1,000 years when Jesus will rule from Jerusalem on earth. And it'll be a time of peace, longevity, prosperity, and security. That's Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, and Isaiah chapter 65, verses 19 through 25. These are all told about. Now, Caleb, go through a couple of those other timelines there. You know, everyone's got different little timelines here, and they can put some certain, but for the most part, for those who take the grammatical, historical, literal interpretation of God's word, thus is why some of you have your Haley's Bible handbooks. That was written, he first published in 1916 to 1924, and Haley kept adding to Haley's Bible handbook until he went to go be with the Lord in 1962. He got to see the rebirth of the nation of Israel, come a nation. And this is a guy for a lot, all his years, born in 1888 or 1898, and all along is telling people that there's going to be an Antichrist, there's going to be a temple, this is what's going to happen. And people said, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Israel doesn't even exist. And then they would quote Mark Twain. Samuel Clemens, that is. They would quote Mark Twain, and he says, I visited Israel, and it's the most God-forsaken, desolate place. Now, that's Mark Twain. He visited in the late 1900s, early late 1800s, early 1900s, in Jerusalem, and he would read the prophecies, and this is going to be a beautiful, lush area, and they're going to be planting trees from around the Dead Sea. Well, we've been to the Dead Sea, and you can see the biblical banana groves there, right? Right now, since May 14th, 1948, and before that, Israelis or Jewish settlements were happening there in the Hula Valley, up in the northern Galilee, and they legally bought those properties. When you hear the whole occupied territory, Jews have come in and occupied it. No, they legally purchased all that. Now, when they got and they started migrating in the 1800s and the 1900s and leaving Europe because of the persecution, they legally bought all that land. But here's the problem. It was swamp land. And so what Israel did, smart minds, they started draining the swamp because they knew the Bible. And underneath all this swampland was rich, fertile ground, was the Hula Valley. And they did. As you drive around, as you tour Minnesota and the rest of the Midwest, that irrigation system, that sprinkler system that's on wheels that you see farming, or you see the farming where there's the crop circles, not aliens, but the circles where they water, all that was developed in Israel. The modern technology that we use right now in farming was developed in Israel. All those techniques, drip irrigation, Israel. That's how they grow bananas all along the rich soil of the Dead Sea, and they use little drip irrigation, and then they wrap all this plastic around these bananas, and here's the thing in the Dead Sea. They have 16 to 18 hours of sun, so they can produce double and triple the crops. And Israel, to this day, supplies almost 70 to almost 80% of all the fruits and vegetables in Europe come from Israel. And a lot of the flowers you get, you think they come from Holland? I don't know if you know about Holland. It's a wet area. They don't really grow a whole lot there. They import them, all those flowers, the majority of them, from Israel, repackage them, and then they get sent over on the KLM flights, and that's how you're able to pick up all those roses that says they came from Holland, because they don't want to see the Star of David on them. Those are produced in Israel. For those of you who went to Israel with us and said, see all these flowers? Like, yeah, well, that's, you will probably beat them home. They're going to be shipped to Holland, and you can go pick them up in the flower store, so why don't you just pick them up now? This is what's happening. But yet, it's people who believe the grammatical, historical, literal interpretation of God's word. Standard Oil, the Rockefeller family, the Rockefellers. Say what you want, robber baron, you know, whatever, but reading his Bible and says, hey, gopher wood there that Noah built the ark, and he used pitch, which is tar. And if it's, even though after the flood, everything kind of like got moved around, but that's still the general area. I wonder if there's oil there. And they go drilling, they find oil. Thus, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and all the other nations around it. All right? All the other nations, they got oil. Israel got rocks. We got rocks. You've seen all the rocks there. And so you see that, and someone just says, well, the Bible says this happened. If there's pitch, that means there's tar, that means there's fossil fuels. And again, Rockefeller's the one who came up with the whole fossil fuels things, dinosaurs and all that kind of stuff. But again, shouldn't we have run out of dinosaurs that died and buried in the sediment? So the whole fossil fuel things, all right, okay, stay with this. Okay, the earth, flat, round, whatever. I can get sidetracked here. But if someone just reading the Bible went over, took a chance, and said, we'll do that. And that's why we have that. So again, Israel exists as a nation. So these things are going to happen. Now, let me give you this. Go with me to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. You want to highlight this one. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we're supposed to encourage each other with. We're supposed to be encouraging this blessed hope to be keep looking up. Go with me to Luke chapter 21. Folks, I didn't always was able to fly through the Bible like this, but I know these things. And so I would encourage you to take these notes down. And so you can go to Luke chapter 21. And at verse 28, And these are the words of Jesus. How do I know? Because I got a red letter edition, right? Publisher told me so. No, these are the words of Jesus. In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, Jesus tells us, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." It's getting closer. It's getting closer. You got those other things? I want you to go to raptureready.com. And this is, there's many other sites you can go to, but this one's pretty concise. And just scroll through it slowly. This is raptureready.com. A Calvary Chapel person started this years ago. It's raptureready.com. And you can go look, and you can go and get all these things. Just like, again, my website or our website here for Calvary Chapel St. Paul, you go to our belief section. There's all those PDF, there's all those files you can download that takes 10 or 15 minutes to read. And you can go through all this, and you can get the end times, and you can, what question do you have? What about the rapture of the church? What about these things? Now, they don't have, I have 21 now, but 21 allusions to the rapture of the church, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That's not on this website. That's just stuff that I've built over the years. But again, you can see where all this comes from. And it's put together here. Now, go to scroll down, Caleb, and you can see donate. Rapture, go to Rapture Ready News. Scroll up a little bit. Let's stop right there. This is just the 27th of February. I cannot keep up what's happening online, all the short videos, the changes that are going on in our government, the things that are happening around the world. And remember, as I've told you, watch Israel. Israel is the timeline. That is God's calendar of when things are going to happen. Listen, Gabber, that's Tulsi Gabber, 100 Intel officers fired for brazen conduct. Just scroll. Just you can look at some of the titles here. These things are happening. This is just the 27th of February. Keep scrolling, Gary. Hamas changes its mind, hands over dead hostages tonight. This is just what's happening here. Trump shares to, have you seen that video? Oh, you have got to, oh my goodness. Can you click on it? Can we show you? See if you can click onto this video, if it can play there. Just Trump puts this video out. He says, "This is how I envision Gaza. It's already destruction. This is how we envisioned it. I can build it all over." And again, I do not think he's the Antichrist. I don't think he's the beast. But just look at this. Go ahead and push play right there. Okay. Well, if you've been watching porn, your ads will show up. All right. Now, here we go. Put a full screen on. Hope God's a number one. Okay, that's enough, man. So he shares an AI, 30 second. Now there's a golden Trump. There's golden heads of Trump. He's got his Trump towers and stuff like that. And again, I don't think he's the Antichrist. I don't think he can be like an Antichrist. But that's just a 30 second AI, artificial intelligence, little put together thing there. And the world is losing their minds. And he's like, look, he's making a pitch. We could tear it down. And we can make this a beautiful, I've been to Gaza. It is some of the best beach property. Walk from your shore, no cliffs to go down. You walk right onto the shore. All the billions and billions of dollars that just the United States of America, through that fake USAID thing and the UN, has sent it, and they built hundreds of miles of tunnels to kill Jews. Everyone could have been a millionaire. Everyone could have had their lives. They could have done all these things. And he says, this is what it could look like. And so he wants to make this 4 or 5 mile wide strip that's 25 miles long. And he says, we can just turn this into a resort. And look at Abu Dhabi, look at Qatar, look at United Emirates, not Yemen. Look at what they have done there. And so These are the things. So seriously alarming enrichment of uranium in Iran. Iran is Persia, folks. Listen, these players are still in existence today. Iran, Persia. We see Gog and Magog. We already know territorially. We already know linguistically the names. We know that's Russia, not the USSR. And we know that to be China. And you know what? Turkey's mentioned. Do you know Turkey exists, right? We see all these players, again, that the Bible says will happen. Keep going. That's a bad article right there. But and then the Mossad director sheds light on Hezbollah beeper operation, you know, from the liver to the knee, and with Netanyahu and that whole operation that took over 5 years to put together. Canadian website sparks controversy, publishes names, personal details of Canadians who served in the IDF. Well, what's the purpose for that? And we look at all this anti-Semitism that's just, why is that on the rise again? Because Jewish people are the most persecuted people group of all the world. Take all the persecuted, the Armenians, the great Armenian Holocaust that happened in Armenia. You take all the persecuted people groups, put them all together, pales in comparison on how many Jews have been murdered and put to death over the years. Put them all together, they don't outnumber. 30 years ago, sitting at a prophecy conference, and I think it was either Shimon Peres or Menachem, not Menachem Begin, who's after Menachem Begin, I think it was Peres, and with the communist dictator of China. And they were making a comment, and the China says, listen, he goes, we have the same amount of 6,000 years of history, and there's a billion people in China. How come there's only 6 million Jews in the world, and about 6 million of them live in Israel? How come there's only 12 million Jews? And then that's where Shimon Peres just says, well, because you guys keep murdering us, but we're still here. Just as God's word says. Have you ever met a Lithuanian Gergesite? How about a Lithuanian Philistine? Or yeah, all those ites are gone. But you know, there's an American Jew, German Jew, Lithuanian Jew. When I started going to Israel in 1997, there was Jews from about 98 different countries. Now there are Jews from over 127 countries. Folks, there's only 164 recognized countries, 60 or 64, 160 recognized countries in the world. And there's Jews from 127 of them. It's why I believe that the Israeli Mossad is the greatest spy agency in the world. Because normally you have to take someone, an American, and we have to teach them how to be like in that other culture. All they do is say, hey, Moshe, you just came from Brazil? Hey, come here. I don't have to teach you any of the colloquial things. I don't have to teach you any of those things. Do you know how many German, you know how many American or British spies were discovered during World War II by simply not being able to say, show three fingers? Show me three fingers. Yeah, as an American. Germans count their thumb, and they go three. Do you know how many American spies trying to be Germans and trying to spy in Germany were caught? Simply because they took their wedge of cake, and what do? Flip it on its side. Think about it, and where do you start from? Right in the middle. Go right in the middle. The other thing. Now, some of you from Minnesota could do okay to spy because you eat with a knife and a fork like everyone else does in Europe. But many, because you can't train that out of them, what do they normally do is you put it down, cut, move everything over to your right hand or whatever your dominant hand and you eat with your fork. But everywhere else in the world, it's, you know, like they're in prison. They're just eating with two hands, right? Israel, when they train their spies, they're like, oh, we don't have to teach any of that. Our startup costs are really minimal. We just got to know if you're able to do these things. Listen, keep going, scroll through it there. This is just February 27th, the news. Divine providence behind the failure of the Tel Aviv bus bombing attack, says Arab journalist. And I have a friend who's an Israeli cop high up in the thing, and he tells me all the stuff that's happening in Israel. And then Olmert, a former prime minister, former mayor of Jerusalem, and then a prime minister of Israel who went to prison for corruption. Olmert reveals in 2008 map conceding 94% of Judea and Samaria. In other words, Olmert, as a prime minister, was going to give to and prove that Palestinians do not want to recognize Israel, and gave to Ahmad Abbas 94% of their concessions. They were going to give up more land, and he showed them the map and everything, and the Palestinians said no, because they want to drive them into the sea. They have none. They said, listen, we love death more than you love life. And so this is just rapture-ready news for the 27th, and I'm looking at some of these headlines right here. It's amazing. It's amazing. I got another video after that or another slide after that. That's it? Okay. Oh, yeah, Isaiah. So I'll finish up with this. And hold up. You sometimes get a mashup. You kind of mash some things up and you think it's in the Bible. Now, I'll give you this one right here. God helps those who help themselves. Is it in the Bible? Thank you. All right. Thomas Jefferson. Okay, very good. You can't love others unless you love yourself first. It's in the Bible? That's Kara's favorite. She says, don't spank me. It says in the Bible, do no wrong to me. Deuteronomy. Do no wrong to me. Okay, that was her favorite. Boy, when she started to learn to read, man, could she twist scripture. All right, so. How about this one? The millennial kingdom, the lion will lay down with the lamb. Go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. It's not what it says, folks. What's the word? Wolf. Well, wait a minute. There's worship tunes about the lion and the lamb laying down. Isaiah 11, and then also in Isaiah 65 about that millennial kingdom, doesn't say that there's not going to be any sin. There's going to be people who never accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and they're going to try to fight with him and the angels there at the very end. That's weird, but okay. Righteousness is going to be enforced. We're not going to have total peace and tranquility and everything until the new heavens and the new earth, but this millennial kingdom, he's going to reign and rule. And there's many, quote-unquote, of worship or tunes, and they talk about it. Now, we get it. It's a mashup because Jesus is also the lion of the tribe of, and he's also the lamb that was sacrificed. And many will say, and again, and I've done it too. Again, I was confronted with this years ago, like, oh, that's right, that's not it. Isaiah 11:6 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. A leopard is not a lion. All right, that's a Tigon leopard. Okay, you have to know Napoleon Dynamite for that one. All right, but he shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. All right, this is talking that we're probably going to might go back to pre-Genesis chapter 10. You know, but we're to have dominion over all these things. But they're going to lie down with the wolf. And it just means that, and it just means that in that millennial kingdom, that there's going to be peace because Jesus Christ is going to reign and rule, and there will be true justice. That's the real. When people say, you know, do you like democracy? I like that we're in a republic, but I'm really for a monarchy. You know, Jesus Christ being king. And he's going to be righteous and he's going to do that, but there's still going to be sinners. There's still going to be children born in the millennial kingdom who are not going to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, because some of us as parents, you know that. It's not guaranteed that your children are going to become Christians. They need to accept Jesus Christ themselves and own their own faith. It's good that you lead them there, but don't think that they're Christians because you are. Again, but that's a mashup sometimes. So that's Isaiah 11:6. Sometimes you think. And so now you should be ruined, especially when you hear songs about the millennial kingdom and the lion will lay down with the lamb. You're like, no! But you see, there's all these little subtleties that happen there. I remember one time a brother comes to me and says, Chick, you keep talking about Paul being knocked down off his horse on the road to Damascus. I'm like, yeah. He goes, he wasn't on a horse. It doesn't even say he was on a horse. What was that mashup? Because I heard in a sermon one time that Saul of Tarsus fell from his high horse. It's a metaphor. He fell from his high horse or his high position to the ground. And I just had it in my head that he was on a horse until I go back and read the scriptures. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And the word in King James and Proverbs is a tale bearer. And that's a tattletale. But I always, because I'm dyslexic, would say table bearer. And then someone else says, are you trying to say tale bearer? Because we're reading along. Oh, yeah, just, you know, I'm listestic. And I can get confused that way at times. But you see, but if you start to mash up things, you start taking away from the Word of God and you can start sinking some other things. So again, if you don't in agreement that there's a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, we'll talk about it on the way up. You got a nice surprise coming for you. All right, but that's not a salvation issue. But if you make it a point of contention, what's the outcome? What's the outcome? Let's just look at what's happened in politics. And just we're seeing all this corruption that's happening that's being rooted out. And why aren't you talking about the corruption? You're mainly upset because of the way that they're saying it? Because they're exposing it, but yet it's true corruption. How do you fight for that? How do you demand for that? Now, again, in 2009, Governor Walz at that time was not in Kuwait or in Iraq with my son and his unit. But he has made Minnesota a sanctuary state for all types of stuff. And he was just called out today by the U.S. Attorney General. If you are going to insist that Minnesota is a where boys can play in women's sports and say that they're a girl, you're not getting any federal funding and they're doing a lot of things. And they're going to be suing Governor Walz and a few other things that they're doing here. But that's all the thing that I do. If you think abortion is right, or you think mutilating or doing sexual surgeries on boys and girls, mainly the boys, how do you fight for that? Just give me your reasoning. Give me your reasoning. A school nurse cannot give your child an aspirin, but without your permission can take them down University Avenue and Fairview and Pryor right there and take them to the abortion mill without your permission. Yeah, they have to be 18. Even if you have a parent's consent, they can't get a tattoo. A school nurse can't give you an aspirin, but they can go walk you down to an abortion or not tell you that your child thinks they're transitioning into a turtle or whatever. And this is our state. This is what's going on. It's just what the Bible tells us. When you see these signs happening, look up. We need to encourage one another. Our blessed hope is coming, man. I'm out of here someday. Truly, I'm already gone. But we're going to be with Jesus someday. And if the hell wasn't scared out of you when I got to Revelation chapter 20, you don't cease to exist. It's not like Pope Francis has said that there is actually no hell. You just cease to exist. And the Vatican's trying to backtrack those statements there. But he says you just soul sleeps, or it just gets not, you just cease to exist or whatever. And then why about this expectancy of the return? And there's always this immediate return, but before the return of Jesus Christ, there's a rapture of the church. Because I'm just as carnal as anyone else here. You tell me that Jesus isn't coming back for 2,500 years and you tell me the date, I might coast. I want to be ready to be raptured at any moment. It's really what keeps me from arguing with Kimberly, even though I'm right. She's not here. But anyway, so don't rat me out. It's because I envision, just the way that I think, I don't want to be in the middle of that argument where I'm informing Kimberly how right that I am and how lonely I'll be, is because I could be raptured up in that moment. I got to stand before the presence of the Lord and goes, and finish your point? Well, if it's not going to matter in heaven, what does it matter right now? What does it matter? And so, again, we encourage one another these words, look up for your blessed hope, when you see these signs appearing. Listen, I just gave you rapture-ready news, and that was just half the articles on February 27th. You can't even read through all those before the 28th shows up, and there's more stuff there. And so I just encourage you, it is happening so fast. Just as in Isaiah says that they will be going to and fro, and knowledge is going to increase, and it's going to be flying like crazy. Do you realize at the beginning of the 20th century, in 100 years before we got to the end of the 21st century, everything that was learned in the first 20 centuries was accomplished in 100 years? Do you realize the last 100 years of information and technology, we accomplished in 10 years? Okay, whether you think the world is flat or round, or if we landed on the moon or not, that was some amazing technology. And to think that Dick Tracy comics, anyone remember that? That's why you got those phones on your wrist. That's Dick Tracy, baby. You got cell phones because of Star Trek, not Star Wars. Star Trek and the communication. You got all these things. They're like, hey, and they're putting all these things in. They're like, hey, let's design, let's do these things. And my final thing is, if you live near the airport, you have no reason to complain about the airplane noise. Because unless you were there before Orville and Wilbur Wright and the invention of the plane, did you not see the planes? And why do I say that? Because a lot of people in the state of Minnesota got money to furbish all their homes for the... Did you not see that big jet flying over right there? But again, so we have all these things and all this technology. And just, man, and it's getting faster and faster and faster. And now what's happening with artificial intelligence, oh my goodness, it's just going to be exponentially even faster. But the one thing that will not change out is the grass withers and the flower fades, as Isaiah tells us, but it is the word of the Lord that stands forever. I know all these verses and I know all these things because I've been preaching and teaching it for many years, but again, I started off with my notes, one thing goes to the next, and that's not even all my notes. So Lord Jesus, may you just continue to do the work in each and every one of our lives. May we encourage one another with these words that when you see these days approaching, and man, they are approaching fast, look up, for our redemption draws nigh. You're going to take us out of here someday, Lord. We just praise you. We thank you. And just give you this night in Jesus' name. Amen.